welcome to Season 2, Episode 14 of Riff Happens, and this is an extremely special episode because we have the OG dance machine himself. Ronnie is joining me back in the co-host booth. Ronnie, welcome back to Riff Happens.
Hey, Justin, happy to be here, man. Please pay attention to my dance moves, and please don't pay attention to the mess behind me. I didn't clean my room today, and my study looks like a total pigsty, but I'm here. I'm excited. I'm so pumped. My voice is gone, as I'm sure you guys can hear, after this amazing weekend of LCS finals and all this stuff we're about to break down, but I wouldn't miss this for anything, Justin. I'm so happy to be here with you again, bud.
Yeah, man, this is our LCS Spring Finals Hangover Edition of
Hangover. yes, perfect analogy.
So yeah, Ronnie's voice is a little shot. I'm exhausted. I just got finished with a 7-hour drive back to Mobile from Houston. We're both kind of on the ropes right now, but we're pushing through trying to get this thing done. So you're a trooper for coming on, man, and knocking this out.
Hey, happy to be here, man. Honestly, like, it's been too long. We started real strong, you know, hot and heavy at the beginning of Riff Happens. It was you and me every week, and then I took a hiatus for a little while and I had some other folks fill in admirably. We got Lucas, we got some other folks that are jumping in, you know, helping out here and there, and maybe this will become a regular thing when I'm back. Maybe not. I don't know. But I'm here today, and I'm super hype. And man, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah. So we are going to recap a couple things. We'll talk a little bit about finals because Ronnie and I, we were both there, and we ran into. Gosh, I would have to go through and like count all the CR people that were there. But I know me and you, Coach Hernandez teaches. Robbie was there. Patty,
Antonio,
Kate,
yeah, from Louisiana,
yeah,
yep. Oklahoma.
Coach Magros was there. Our top lane Scion stud from Team Tragedy, got to meet him. Peter, Shiny Ninetales, was there as well. I mean, it was and Pathfinder was there.
Oh, dude, and Pathfinder won the jungle timer.
Oh, like, did he really?
He won the – I didn't tell everybody about it. So, there. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, right, LCS has this thing before everything takes off at the finals called FanFest. And they had little booths where you could come in and kind of compete against people. The lines were crazy long for everything. So he waited in line for about an hour and a half. He was in the last group of people that went in. It was like him and three or four of the people that were in that last group that they let in. And – yeah, man, he set the timer at 16:92 or something. I've got a screenshot of it. But yeah, sub 17 seconds on the jungle full clear, including the scuttle crabs. He did it with Jinx.
Did he really? I was going to ask what champion he used. That's wild.
Yeah, he apparently he ran into some of the EG guys, not the players, but some of like their coaching staff and stuff on Saturday after the match. And they just kind of were like, hanging out, talking with him and stuff. So he's like, yeah, what do you guys think? Some strats. And they all kind of brainstormed it. And that was the best strat they could come up with, was the Jinx strat. So him and the last five guys all ran it, and he had the best time. Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so FanFest was an absolute crazy, huge
what do you
gathering.
Say?
I don't even know how to describe it. But basically, each day of the spring finals – they open the doors at about 10 a.m., and from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., they had all of these booths open behind the main stage of finals. So the area where you would sit and watch the games was completely blocked off. Nobody could go in. You had to wrap around to the back of the stadium and then walk down the stairs. And many teams had booths there. Cloud9, FlyQuest, Liquid, EG, 100 Thieves, CLG.
CLG for some reason? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, listen. So conspicuously absent from FanFest was Dignitas, TSM, and Immortals.
Yeah.
They were all absent. Golden Guardians wasn't there either. I'm going to have to let me pull my thing up here and make sure I didn't miss anybody. Pretty much the Yeah, everybody in a lot of the bottom five were missing, with the exception of CLG. So, I was surprised not to see every team there, because some of these teams, and we'll get into this a little bit later, some of these teams need some really good PR right now. And this would have been, this would have been a great opportunity for them to get some. But so every team had a booth; they were all doing different things. You also had like some Red Bull booths there. Rocket had a booth. Verizon,
Bud Light.
Yeah, there was a Bud Light. Bud Light Next had a big booth set up. It was it was awesome. Lines were horrendously long, and an absolute cluster. It was a hot mess on the first day. They finally figured it out day two, but
they put some stanchions in finally.
Day one there was no rhyme or reason as to how to line up. The lines were intersecting and crossing each other, and it was almost like in the 2.5 years that they've been off from these big live events that they forgot how to run one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It did feel like it. And it's funny because they were just in California the previous weekend, you know, like doing their quarterfinals and all that stuff. So I'm like, okay, so you guys know how to run an event, you know? It's like, did you not anticipate the crowds? I don't know. And it was a fantastic event. I mean, there was so much to do. There was so much to see. Definitely, you know, one of the only complaints was it was extremely packed. And it's kind of a good thing, I guess, right? Because the crowds mean LCS is back. It means that, you know, we've got some folks who are really interested in going to these events. You know, that's a really good sign for Riot, I would say. I mean, you know, I'm not on their PR team or anything, but if it were me, I would be pretty excited about the fan reaction to this past weekend. I mean, even if you were watching at home, I'm sure you could probably hear just the intense reaction from the tens of thousands of rabid League of Legends fans that were in attendance. Man, it was I had never been to a Riot event before. It was my first, and it was surreal. Like, it hit me Sunday night after I got home. Like, I was at that. That was amazing. Like, I'm going to remember that forever. And I think it left a mark on everybody that was there, a positive mark in a really amazing way. It was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And just kind of touching on the finals for anybody that did not see it or that's interested in LCS stuff, spoilers from here on out. So here's your opportunity. Here's your chance to turn off and go away. But EG took it. It was definitely a historic finals. It wasn't like some of the ones we had in the past with it's normally you see Cloud9 or TSM in the finals or Liquid in the finals. This was completely different. Not for multiple reasons. One, we've had kind of the changing of the guard. It was very reminiscent of 100 Thieves winning it last split, right?
Yes.
You know, and having a new banner hanging. So you do have that, but then you also have the whole narrative around this is the team of young NA talent. They've got an import and Inspired, but you've got the two young carries in JoJo Pyun and Danny, but you also have Vulcan on there who has gone back and forth on Twitter with Reggie. Reggie basically saying we need to get in imports, and then Reggie was, you know, kind of flaming Vulcan on Twitter saying that if all the LCS teams left LCS, then you'd be out of a job. You know, and that's where the whole Vulcan McDonald's, you know, meme was born. So it was just really cool to see this team of mostly NA residents succeeding, right? And these two young talents beating up on these old guys.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, we joked a little bit before we started. We were just kind of talking because, you know, we like talking about this stuff. But, I mean, a couple of the players are on stage are younger than some of the players on my high school team, right? Like, I've got seniors that are 18, you know, 19, and the kids on stage are 17, 18 years old. You know, JoJo and Danny are so young. And then you got Impact, who's like my age. And I'm like, this boomer's still out here kicking some butt, you know, showing them what's what. And just the mix of talent on this squad, I mean, it was really impressive to see. Their Saturday series was incredible. I mean, that's what made me lose my voice. If any of you haven't seen the best of five, the EG versus TL rematch from Saturday. You need to go watch it. Don't just watch the final, because the Saturday match has the highlights. Mm-hmm. And it starts game one. And let me tell you, if you're watching it at home, if you haven't seen it yet, be prepared for that crowd reaction. You can't even hear the casters once we start going from the crowd. And it's exactly why I have no voice today. That Saturday Pentacle Baron, man, just what a moment. If you haven't seen it, it's like one of those infamous LCS moments that you have to watch. And it was just so cool to be there and like witness it live and look around and be like, did that just happen? And everyone else's face is doing the exact same thing. It was just surreal, man. And then, yeah, to see them take it 3-0 again against 100 Thieves. I love your point about how 100 Thieves was basically this team last year. I kept turning to my guys and saying, man, this is what they were saying about, you know, Closer last year. This is what they were saying about Someday last year. This is what they were saying about 100 Thieves a year ago, minus the whole, you know, NA talent thing. Now to see it brought to fruition with a team, you know, EG, who is, I mean, minus Inspired, as you mentioned. I mean, if they had put Jose Diodo in as the jungler for EG, that's an NA five-man stack, basically. You know, Impact is now one of ours. He's been here so long. The rest of the squad is built, you know, brought up from NA, from Canada, from the US. It's impressive to see. You know, we hear the narrative so often of NA talent, you know, there's no pipeline, there's nowhere for these kids who are really passionate about the game to move. And then you see this happen and you're like, well, I guess maybe things are changing, man. This is exciting.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that too, because we had Adrian Risley on last week from We Think, and had an awesome interview with him, talking about the things they're doing at We Think to help Scholastic esports teams. Obviously, that's a platform that's free for K-12 esports programs. He threw out a tweet right after the finals, saying, "This is a great day for Scholastic esports. I'm hopeful that game devs start to realize the power of passion and how much more powerful it is when compared to the power of money." And someone asked him for context, and he responded, he's saying, "With EG's championship win, with some of the homegrown talent and a focus on development, it should help challenge the current thinking strategy of esports organizations' path to success. I believe properly supporting Scholastic esports can create similar stories in the future. Scholastic esports mainly exists because of the passion that most high school and collegiate coaches have. Most of them are unpaid, and administrators still don't understand the value that esports will have in the future. Ton of similarities between the rise of EG and Scholastic esports, in my opinion." And I think that really does, like, this finals, it's going to mean so much moving forward, because, as you said, it is breaking kind of that narrative. You know, 100 Thieves started it first, right? Hanging up a new banner, right? They, mm-hmm. The old guard of TSM, CLG, Cloud9, and Liquid, you know, these teams that have multiple banners hanging up, you know, that's gone, right? And now you have this new banner finally dropping, and that kind of started this trend, like, finally we have some fresh blood, you know, some brand new teams kind of taking charge in LCS. And then with EG storming on and doing the same thing that 100 Thieves did, with, in addition to, the young talent, I hope that's also going to put, maybe shine a light on Scholastic esports more, because, you know, right now, you know, we have the academy scene and we have Proving Grounds. But beyond that, there is, and this would start a whole nother discussion. If we're going to get into, you know, stuff with like exclusivity, and how if a high school kid wants to be able to participate in esports, he has to go a particular way based on the decisions that Riot has made. They're, you know, you're funneling kids in a particular direction, but they have to, there's a gatekeeping there from Riot that's mm-hmm. keeping these high school kids from being able to participate in esports the way that they want to be able to participate in. There's a price barrier there. There's season type barriers that are in place mm-hmm. from Riot. And I'm hoping that this will start that conversation to open those things up. But either way, great thing. I will say too, you know, when we have these big competitions between teams, like especially in finals and playoffs, like we really cheer for five games. We really want silver scrapes to play.
Yeah.
But I think with the way that this finals went down, I'm not disappointed in the 3-0s at all.
No. Honestly, it gives me a lot of confidence for their chances at MSI. I mean, okay, so I'm the guy who every time MSI starts, I'm like, I believe, you know, I'm that idiot who's like, no matter who we send, I know NA can do it.
On the NA hopium.
Yeah, and you know, it's like Cloud9, yeah, they get kind of far, and TL, they do their thing, and we always send somebody who kind of flames out by the group stage, and I mean, who knows, right? Who knows what's going to happen with EG, but I feel like the 3-0 gives me additional confidence in their ability to take on international competition because, heck, I mean, I'll say it, there was no competition in NA once playoffs started. Those guys went, what was it, like 12-1?
Yeah, they only dropped the game to FlyQuest. That was the only team they lost to. And in the lower bracket.
Yeah, they went to game 5 against TL, you know, took them all the way to the end, lost by, you know, a fraction of a whatever, you know, it was such a close game, and don't lose a single other match except for that one backdoor to FlyQuest, you know, to Kui with his TP, and that was pretty cheeky. Other than that, like, really intense, cheeky play, I mean, EG was unstoppable. They had an answer for everybody that was in front of them, and, I mean, 100 Thieves, the reigning champs, looked listless. They looked lost. They didn't have a direction in that match, and you know, they had good individual performances here and there. You know, someday he was like deathless for most of game 3, and they had a lot of like, oh man, this, maybe they could put it together. But it just seemed like they were waiting for something and it never came. And then before they knew it, it was over, and it was 3-0. So, I mean, props to EG, props to everybody that showed up. Obviously, I mean, you got some of the best teams in the world, at least best teams in the country, and these guys are putting it all on the line, and you know, EG just had the recipe this time. You know, it's pretty special.
I like what you said. It almost seemed like 100 Thieves, it's almost like they were waiting for something, and that's been my complaint, not only with them but also with TL. I felt like EG wanted to win, and they were doing things to make sure that they would win, like, proactively. And, like, with Liquid, and well, you know, 100 Thieves too. Listen, Danny and Vulcan, they got absolutely bodied level 1 in, I would say, if I remember correctly, pretty much all games except for the Ezreal game.
He was first blood like 3 times.
Yeah.
Danny was first blood. Like, he didn't get it. He gave up first blood like 3 times in those 2 series.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, games 1 and 2 versus Team Liquid, Han Sama ended up getting like a 30-40 CS lead.
Yeah.
If it wasn't in both games, it was at least in one of them. And there was one time, I believe it was the 100 Thieves game, where like Danny's coming back to lane and he's still level 1 with like 1 CS to FBI's like level 3 or something. Like, it was absolutely insane that he got that far behind early. And then it's like TL and 100 Thieves are like, okay, all right, we stomped him level 1. Okay, let's just ride it out and just hope we win. Like, I didn't feel like they had that killer instinct. Mm-hmm. And with the way these teams are put together, like, on TL, Bjergsen and Han Sama, I don't feel have that. Like, if you're wanting somebody on your team to have killer instinct, it needs to be on your carries. Like, they need to be able to take the risk to be able to, you know, put themselves ahead. The only person I feel like on TL that does that is Whippo, but he's very feast or famine.
Like, saw it happen. It was very much like he was like, oh, put it on me, and then, yo, what happened, bro? And you could see him kind of losing it. And he's the type of player, if you've ever watched Bleepo, not to cut you off, but, you know, he's the type of player that his cam reactions are everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you can never really get a reaction out of him. He's always kind of laughing. Oh, you got me. Ha, ha, ha. Even when he dies, he's typically got a smile on his face. And when he gets the kill, he's got that killer instinct. And you can kind of, you know, you can see it in his eyes. And I never saw that kind of – that click. I never saw it click with him on stage. It felt like he, even Bwipo, right, one of the most veteran players on that stage, was kind of like, whoa, this team is really good. I don't know what to do, and I'm just going to laugh because we're getting stomped. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, and I feel like Cutter Thieves kind of the same way. I feel like Hansa underperformed for Liquid. And we can get into this a little bit later once we get into our real topics. But yeah. Same thing with FBI for 100 Thieves. I felt like if you get that lead in bot lane, why just sit on it? Like, what are you doing proactively to guarantee that you're going to win? Like, snowball that advantage and push it. Neither team did it, and EG had that. They had the X factor there. They had that killer instinct, and they said, you know what, we're going to team fight our way back. And they took every opportunity they could to try to outplay the opponent. And that was the other thing, like, too, is they built a lot of, like, they knew what their win con was. Their win con was going to be get Danny ahead and let Danny, you know, kind of hard care. Obviously, JoJo Pion did really well, and Impact was an absolute monster. But there were times where Impact was on tank duty, right? Mm-hmm. And he was on the Ornn, or you know, when he was on the Aatrox, he also styled on there too, and the Mordekaiser. But
oh, that Mordekaiser, I mean, bro! Oh man, it was so nasty. Oh, sorry, it was just incredible.
You know, they had their game plan, and they felt confident that they were going to win through their hands and outplaying the opponent. Not so much saying we're just going to scale and we're going to win because we have better items and better scaling. They said we're going to take the fight to you, and they did. And it was really something special. And I'm hoping that we're going to see the dawn of a new era, right?
Yeah. That's the next test, right? It's can they repeat success, right? We got Summer Split just around the corner, so we'll see how they do at MSI. And then when they come back, a lot of teams have that kind of hangover and they're not able to kind of put those back-to-back championships together. This team's got something really special, so I'm definitely going to follow their journey. I mean, it's really easy to also, as a Scholastic coach, as a high school coach, it's so easy to draw parallels between EG's journey and a lot of Scholastic teams, right? Because the kids are basically the same age. So it's really easy to say, like, look, we've been underdogs. We've been the team that isn't supposed to win, and we're still here, right? So I'm using this EG kind of moment to also inspire my squad. We happen to be in playoffs starting Wednesday. You know, we got our championship Friday if we qualify. And it's really special because you can tell, like, how much this is reverberating through the community at all levels. It's just such a cool Cinderella story. And I mean, yeah, I could talk about this all day. We could just spend the whole day talking about how much I love EG right now. You know what I mean? Like, just what a cool moment. And I'm on, for lack of a better term, I'm on cloud nine right now. Right.
I like that. All right. So
yeah.
With that being said, I'm going to put up the standings on the screen so that everybody can see. This is how kind of the LCS finished in regular season. Obviously, we know how playoffs ended with EG taking it. EG going into playoffs, that fourth seed there coming in and making the run. They lost first round of playoffs to Liquid, as Ronnie mentioned, in a five-game series. So took Liquid to the limit, even that first round of upper bracket. And then made that 12-1 run through the lower bracket, only dropping a single game to FlyQuest, dumpstering Cloud9, dumpstering Liquid, and dumpstering 100 Thieves. And you know, up until that point, too, the narrative around EG was they did so well in lock-in tournament, but they never really beat any LCS teams in lock-in. Like, they'd only beaten teams that had subs for lock-in, right? And then once they got out of lock-in, they never beat the top three teams, which were Liquid, Cloud9, and 100 Thieves. They could beat everybody below them, but they couldn't beat those top three. And as you said, Cinderella story, this underdog story, they're going to come back and absolutely body them through the playoffs and win the whole thing. But this is how the regular season ended with Team Liquid. First place 14-4, followed by Cloud9. 100 Thieves is the third seed, EG, of course, and then FlyQuest right below them, Golden Guardians in sixth place. So those were our playoff teams. Below that, we have our four teams that did not make playoffs. We had Dignitas, CLG, TSM, and then Immortals Progressive at the very end. So what I want to kind of task Ronnie with and bounce some ideas off of him and get some opinions here, maybe some hot takes, is I've got a list of questions for you as we discuss how we feel these teams did throughout the spring split. So the first question is, of the teams that we have here, which one do you believe overperformed, meaning they're actually worse than their end of regular season standing showed?
Yeah, which team is boosted, basically.
Correct, yes. Which team is boosted, overinflated standing. But I will say this, try to view it from the lens of not playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, right, so right. It skews everything a little bit. Yeah, true, right. True. If we're talking regular season, man, I don't know. It's tough to not say FlyQuest. Mm-hmm. You know, they had such a pretty tumultuous offseason coming in, and they replaced a lot of folks. People were saying, who's this Takui guy? Right, like, I don't really know about this team. And they kind of figured it out, right, as they went. And you know, I think most people probably wrote them off early in the season, and for them to qualify for playoffs at all and be the only team to take a game off EG other than TL. I don't know. Maybe something's there. I don't know. But they've definitely got a really cohesive core. My question now, though, is, okay, so maybe they were, in my opinion, the overperforming or the team that performed better than they should have, right? What do you do, right? Because you still didn't get a lot of success in the postseason. Do you keep this roster and, you know, make another run, or do you shake it up and potentially drop lower in the standings, right? Because that's also a possibility, right? It's, you're not guaranteed to lock in sixth place again, of course. So, you know, that's definitely going to be a pretty big thing to watch during the offseason here between spring and summer, because some teams are already making moves. I definitely think FlyQuest has something special. Will they continue to make some progress? I don't know, but I definitely consider them my overperforming team from spring.
I would agree with you. all right, we're one for one. Yeah. I feel like Jose Diodo is really riding off of his one like Worlds appearance that he had. And, yeah, you know, that he got a lot of hype around him. I've just been disappointed with that. And the one thing to remember too with FlyQuest is they picked up a couple of early wins in the season running that right. Smite Enchanter top.
Yeah, that's true.
They were one of the teams that said, yeah, we're going to embrace this, and they did it. So now that that's kind of fallen out of favor and everybody was really complaining about that meta or that strategy, I think it's worth tossing around the idea, would they still have finished the season in fifth place had that they not gone those weeks running that Smite Enchanter top strategy?
Yeah, that's really true. I had we were looking at my students and I were looking at some of the earlier matches in the season, and they're like, Lulu top Smite, what is that? Karma top Smite, what is that? Why is there two Smites? I'm like, y'all don't remember? It was this season. People were doing the double enchanter thing, man, and it was kind of broken for a minute. But I'm glad that went away, because that was really weird. But I don't know if they can win on you know, what really is like the traditional meta, but I don't know if they can win on a patch that has the traditional meta in place. You know, it's I don't know what their specialty is exactly compared to some of these other squads, so it's tough, man. I don't know if they're going to be able to repeat another playoff berth, but I'm rooting for them, because they're kind of that like underdog, what do they call them, the money ball team, where you know, they've kind of like, they're not spending a lot of money, but they're still making moves, and you know, they made playoffs, so it's something's working. But I definitely want to see a little more success from those guys.
Yeah, I think, not to take anything away from like Takui, I think Takui was a great pickup. I think it's always exciting for me to see him play, because I'm always crossing my fingers that he's just going to have a pop-off performance, because I like seeing you know, the young, fresh talent, you know, do stuff. I like Johnson, obviously, alongside Afremu. You know, Afremu has great mm-hmm. success with working with these young AD carries and making them successful. He makes newer AD carries look really good, right? And Johnson is in that position, and I really hope that he, you know, kind of blooms and, you know, as well, and does really, really well. All right, so next question is the opposite of that one. Which team do you believe underperformed? They're actually better than the standings indicate. Not looking at postseason.
Yeah, right, right. Oof, I know. Like you, when you look at you just want to say EG.
Oh, EG, yeah. They should
right, obviously. But I mean, yeah, their run to playoffs on the way to playoffs was not pretty. So I definitely can't say EG. Ironically, man, weirdly enough, probably Cloud Nine.
Okay,
you know, you they got MVP honors on Summit. Still, like, I didn't find okay. So I'm one of those people who's like, okay, Summit. Maybe he shouldn't have got it. Maybe he should. Whatever. His regular season was solid enough to earn him an award, but I think people figured out closer to the end of the season, and of course playoffs, which doesn't count, that he kind of had a linear play style, and it was really easy to punish him in certain circumstances, and still got the award, of course, right? But mm-hmm. I think when you start to see some of those things unravel, you know, Fudge's mid lane play after the Enchanter meta kind of fell out of favor, wasn't up to par with some of these other guys like, you know, Bjergsen and JoJo. So there's just a few of these little things that Cloud9, I think they benefited from maybe the meta being something they could exploit earlier in the season. You know, they benefited from a few things kind of bouncing their way. And I think probably if there was a team in the summer that I expected to take a little bit of a dip, it'd be Cloud9. So I think they've got to be my answer.
Yeah, and I think, too, remembering that they went 0-3 that final week of the season. Like,
yes,
they finished 13-5. They finished second place. If they didn't finish 0-3, and they finished 3-0, as you know they probably should have based on the trajectory from the rest of the season, they would have finished 16-2, like a right. full 2 wins above Team Liquid, right? So it, yeah, I think that's a good one. Mine is not going to be Cloud9.
Oh,
bummer. Mine is going to be CLG.
Ooh.
And here's why. So
how dare you?
Yeah. So I think Luger is really good.
Yeah, Luger's solid.
I really thought CLG was going to be the dark horse team this year, that they were going to come in and just absolutely surprise everybody, because you know they're coming off of a horribly abysmal 2021 season.
Historically bad.
Yeah, yeah. Just a terrible, terrible season. And now they're bringing in Jenkins, who did really well subbing in for Alfari from Liquid. Yeah. Jenkins is an NA talent. Contracts, NA talent. Palafox, NA talent. And so is Poom. Poom is Canadian. So you actually have a four, you know, NA resident squad there in yeah. CLG. Luger being the only one that I believe Luger is an import.
Yeah, I think he might be from Oceania.
Yeah,
maybe.
Turkish. Yeah.
Okay. My mistake.
So I just had to look it up to confirm. But, yeah. I mean, I thought they were going to do a whole lot better just because the hype coming in from Luger. I thought Jenkins looked really good, and Contracts by this point is a veteran. Contracts, I thought, looked really good on Cloud9. You know, and then now he's, you know, spent some time in academy, kind of, you know, cleaning things up. And I thought he was just going to come back, you know, with a vengeance. But he sprinted it the first few weeks of of the season. He absolutely just ran it down. Yeah. And a lot of their losses had him like over 5 deaths at the end.
It was hard to watch, man.
It was bad. And I'm not a CLG fan by any means, but I really thought they would do a lot better than what they did. So that would be my pick. All right. So we're 1-2. We're 1-2.
I'll allow it. Okay. It's fine.
All right. All right. How about this one? Which team pleasantly surprised you with their performance. You didn't think they would do well, but they actually did really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, regular season only, of course, right? That's the asterisk. You know, I gotta say, I've always had this weird kind of soft spot for Golden Guardians. I don't know why.
Got another one.
Yes. there's just something about them. Like, I feel like they don't have like a rabid fan base like a lot of the other teams do. They don't have all the keyboard warriors on Reddit, you know, fighting for them and stuff. And so you don't really get a lot of the excitement around their signings, around their players, around their highlights. And here they are, fifth place, right? So I think really impressive performance from those guys overall. I was really surprised. I expected them to finish bottom four. I think, you know, not calling any shots, but I think a lot of people didn't give them much of a chance in the spring season. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, of course, they flame out. They lose in their first best of five, the storyline about Licorice never beating C9 and he's destined to play until he's 55 years old to finally get a win off of them and stuff and all that. But I mean, other than the C9 storyline, I thought Golden Guardians season was pleasantly surprising.
Yeah, for sure. I, at the beginning of the season, when they announced who they were bringing on, obviously they're bringing in Lost. They're bringing in Olay. They send Iconic back to Academy. Or actually, they send Iconic to Academy because he came straight from Collegiate directly.
Oh, yeah.
Iconic came in with Niles. And obviously bringing Licorice in. But when they announced they were bringing over Pride Stalker, mm-hmm. people did not like that they were bringing over Pride Stalker. And they just did not see much of a... They didn't see is that like this was a big investment bringing because he was over in Europe and spent some time in EU Masters, and I don't really follow EU Masters that much, but from what if you were just to follow what Reddit said about him, he wasn't worth bringing over, and so I admittedly was ignorant to it, but I did know enough that figured out he likes to play assassin junglers, so I got really excited. Because, like, okay, yeah. You know, this guy will play the Zed jungle. He'll play Rengar, Talon. Yeah, yeah, like, right. Evelynn. You know, he's willing to break out those. And I think that's what made me really excited for GG, because they did have – he's not like a Santorin. You know, he is a kind of – he's going to go all out. And he's going to play the assassins and try to be that really strong carry jungler and do a ton of damage. And that was really exciting to think about, and maybe, you know, as this prospect for what this team could do. And I really want to cheer for a Blaze Olive too, again, and a talent, right? This is another team with three members, I believe, three of their players are NA residents, and so we really should pull for them too. You know, it Lost obviously is Oceania, so he's kind of
That's kind of they get the asterisk because they're technically NA still. So they don't have their own region.
But Licorice is Canadian, a Blaze Olive Canadian. And so we do have these teams other than EG that are really, you know, trying to start this native, you know, NA talent that aren't really getting the credit, and teams are really dogging them. Because they're not doing well, but this is what people are complaining that they want. Like, we want teams to do this stuff, but you need to be able to support them. So, yeah, they're my pick as well. I think they did really, really well. I think they should be proud of what they were able to do this season with the brand new roster, right? And I'm hoping they come back stronger in the summer. All right. Which team was the biggest disappointment for you?
Oof. Yeah, right. On the flip side, right? We got to do the A side and the B side of every coin. Yep. And, you know, somebody's got to be on the other side of it. I guess, man, that's tough. I guess I have to say TSM. It's hard not to because, you know, we talk about the old guard. We talk about these teams that are perennial contenders. We talk about the banners that are up and, you know, what is even that called? I guess like where they keep the banners at? Is that like a stadium? I don't know.
Yeah. In the arena. Yeah. The LCS the arena. Studio. Yeah.
The LCS studio. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm drawing a blank. So yeah, they've got all those banners up in the studio, right? Like you've got going all the way back to like 2010, TSM's got championships. So you expect to see them, right? Like, oh yeah, they're going to figure it out. You know, they've got a really good group of coaches and investors and people who really want to see them succeed. They're going to be in the playoffs, right? Cool. But man, no appearance from these guys for the first time in quite some time.
I think it's the first time ever.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually. So it's hard not to say that they're the biggest disappointment, because I mean, even with low expectations, you still expect them to make top six. And yeah, they were lower than CLG, which is rough.
Yeah. Especially after last split. Yeah. Especially after last season. Yeah. Yeah. CLG was like the worst of the worst. And and there's even the Reggie tweet that said, I'll sell my house and or everything I own so that we never end up like CLG. And so that's where you start to see the memes now of Reggie's house on Zillow.
Yeah, right. What are you gonna do, bro? Call your bluff. Yeah.
I mine was tough. I also initially thought TSM. Mm-hmm. But then I flipped it over to Immortals.
Ooh,
and I feel like I have to justify it because it is low hanging fruit, because obviously they're 10th place.
Yeah,
but look at the players that they have. Right? Like, you've got Xerxe, who wasn't terrible in EU,
right?
They bring him over. You've got Power of Evil, who, to my if I remember correctly, obviously he never spends more than a year on a single team. Yeah, but
a new team every year.
But every team that he's on, they go to playoffs.
Yeah,
right. I mean, and then he was on that. If I remember correctly, he was on he was on UOL. He was on the Unicorns of Love squad, that original squad there. And, you know, really burst onto the scene, did really, really well. Then he's had a spin on Misfits, if I recall correctly, before he came to NA. And just he was Bjergsen's replacement, right, from TSM. And, you know, plays these control mages. He is one of the premier control mage, you know, mid laners. And just not really impressed with him at all. They've got Wild Turtle and Arrow as their kind of ADC duo, but I really felt like this team, even though they have Revenge, who is a young talent, and I think they should build around Revenge, because I think that he's Revenge is pretty good.
Yes,
and there were many games where he's trying to 1v9 the split. I felt like they really scraped the bottom of the bargain bin to build a team around him. Like, I love Wild Turtle. I think he's a great personality. He's easy to cheer for, but I don't think he's quite there anymore. Arrow was really good at one time, but now he's spent a long time in Academy. And I'm like, how long do you need to spend in Academy before you're LCS ready?
Right.
You know, and that's that could go into a gripe about the Academy scene too. Like, I think Darshan is a great player, but if Darshan isn't going to be on an LCS team, get somebody else in the Academy.
Let's move on.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. You know, I totally agree with you.
If he's good enough to be in Academy but not good enough to be in LCS, how much time do you give these older players before you give them the boot?
Before you make them coaches.
Exactly. Like Golden Glue. Golden Glue's a coach now.
Yeah,
he's an Academy coach.
That's the career path, you know. It's like, all right, man, you're getting up there, but you still got the brain for it. You just don't have the hands. So we're gonna send you on down the road, but don't worry, you're still gonna get a paycheck.
Yeah, and that, I don't know, that's kind of where I'm at on that. And I feel like that's where Immortals. I feel like they are investing maybe too much in these older players.
Yeah, big swing, big miss.
It's time to get rid of them and take a chance. Take a chance like the rest. Take a chance like Golden Guardians. Take a chance like EG has done on some of this new talent. And here's the thing. If you take a chance on the new talent and it flops and it flounders, people are a little more understanding, because like, okay, it's new talent.
Right.
But if you bring in these veterans and you crap the bed like Immortals did,
yeah,
no, that's... people aren't going to be as understanding and forgiving of that.
I remember CLG did that last year too. They had that weird team with oh man, you know what? I'm gonna blank right now and not remember his name, but they had like three or four veterans just kind of scrapping them together, figuring, oh, it's Po Belter.
Yeah.
Notorious POB, right?
And I like Po Belter. I'm a big fan of Po Belter. I think he's a great
dude. Yeah. But he's not it anymore. And so you saw that happen. Side note, Power of Evil. Every time I see him on camera, he and Stixxay are like twins, bro. I can't tell them apart. They are like the same human being. I've never seen them in the same place at the same time. I think they're the same person. Anyway.
It's a conspiracy. Stixxay is out here, or Power of Evil's out here playing for two teams.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I don't know, but I think they are extremely similar in the way that their like face look. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So I originally worded this next question to say which team is most likely to make roster changes, but I think that obviously several. So
yeah.
I would say just give me your list of which teams you're anticipating making roster changes. And then the follow-up question being which team – okay, or maybe this should be the question, so scrap that. Okay. Which team do you believe is going to make the most roster changes for summer? Because I would venture to say, like, I think everybody is in agreement that TSM is likely going to make a roster change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
More than likely Immortals. But which team will do the most shakeups during the offseason?
Yeah, it's tough too because it's between spring and summer, right? So we're not in the like off season yet, right? We're kind of in that in between phase, and this is tough, right? Because a lot of teams aren't letting go of their talent, right? They're gonna keep these guys on through summer. Their contracts don't expire yet, so yeah. I mean, obviously the bottom four teams, they're gonna want to make moves, but like, who do you get, right? Who's available? Who's out there? A lot of these really talented players, I mean, they're locked in, right? Like, they're not making any moves until after summer at the earliest. I think the only signing I've seen so far was Ignar. If I'm not mistaken, I think he went was it Golden Guardians? I'm blanking now, but Ignar has been the only signing so far this offseason that I've seen. And I mean, it's still early, right? We just kind of finished the LCS season, but it does feel like, okay, yeah, sure. Obviously, TSM, CLG, Immortals, these teams want to make moves, but I just don't know who's out there that they can replace these players with. And, you know, that's we get back into that convo about the talent system, the talent pipeline, but I just don't know that those four squads can make the moves that's going to result in immediate success. So if I was going to say maybe the team that's going to make the most roster changes, and this is spicy, I think FlyQuest, man, because I think they've got two paths. Okay. I think they either stick with what they've got or they completely rebuild, but they figure out like, okay, what's our anchor and how do we build around that? Because, you know, sixth place is great. Playoffs is great in a bubble, but, you know, flaming out in playoffs, who cares, right? Like, you lose the first round of the bracket and the loser's bracket and stuff. And it just doesn't feel like they've made enough of a step forward to justify keeping this roster for another season. And their players aren't, you know, the 100 Thieves, TL, C9 level. Well, I'm okay. Maybe I'm not giving them enough credit, but I feel like those teams have a little bit of an edge and you're not going to beat them by running with that same roster again. So I feel like they're the team I'm looking at to make the most moves.
I think that's a spicy take.
Thank you.
Because look, top five is pretty darn good with, you know, they brought in with Takui's first split, right?
Right.
Wow.
Maybe they build around him. I don't know, you know, but I think Tuki time, right? Jose Diodo, it's not working, bro. Like, Tuki time's cool when you're solo queue and you're doing your thing and you get a kill and you're like, ooh, Tuki, yeah, I got him. Have you ever watched his streams? He does that. Like,
now I've seen the Twitch chat blow up whenever they're playing.
Yeah, the Tuki time.
Yeah.
That's a thing he does on his solo queue streams. Every time he gets a kill, he's, oh, Tuki. And he just says it. It's like a thing. And I saw an interview. He doesn't realize he's saying it. I'm like, all right, cool, bro. You got like some style points and stuff, but where's the pizzazz, man? I need a little more in game, you know? And it's just not, he's not putting it together for me. So I feel like Jose Diodo, you're great, but I think you're replaceable. You know, Takui, I feel like is the one player they could really build around. And obviously he's so young, right? It's got so much promise. These young players, they've got all this ambition, and you can put all these hopes and dreams onto them. And old players, they're washed. Get them out of there. But I really do think Tikui's a really good anchor that FlyQuest could build off of.
All right, so I'll give two answers here. I'm gonna have a hot take.
Okay.
And then I'll have my safe. I guess I'll get my safe one first. My safe one's already out there. I'm going to say Immortals.
Yeah.
That's my safe one. But
because
then
of necessity.
Yeah. And I go back to it, kind of to what you said. Not only who are they going to get, but also who wants to join.
Right.
Because they've got some bad PR right now. Mm-hmm. They went on Reddit, or the general manager, I think it was, if I remember correctly, he went on Reddit, did an AMA or something like that, and posted about how at the end of each, I don't know if it's the end of each scrim block or something, they grade their players. They go around and they give them a grade on their performance. Like, they give them a piece of paper or something that has like, that was a B performance. It's almost like champion mastery or stuff at the end of when you finish a solo queue match or something. You go, you performed it. You were a B or something. And I don't know how it was. I'd have to dig back into it again. But they got hard flamed for that. Okay. And the community did not like that at all. Gave them a ton of backlash. And things kind of went dark from them after that. They haven't said much. We'll talk about this in the next. Our last question will be which former pros do we could possibly see making a comeback. But in that talk, if I'm already thinking ahead of which pros I would say that they could probably pick up, I don't know which ones would say, yeah, I'll sign up for that. I'll sign up to join Immortals.
At that point, you're either just looking for a paycheck type of thing, right? Like, oh yeah, cool, they signed me a few million dollars, I'll show up. Or maybe you're just really hungry to get on the scene, you know, like that's why those younger players always make an impact, because they're so hungry. That's tough, man. I think and also Immortals has traditionally been an org that's struggled in their history. They are one of the few organizations that's been removed from LCS. They've come back, right? They lost their sponsor, that wasn't their sponsorships, but they lost their franchising. Yes, they lost their franchising at some point, had to buy it back from another, you know, it's like kind of changing ownership, and it just feels very much like this squad doesn't have the tools they need from the top down to succeed. So yeah, I totally agree with you.
All right, so here's my hot take.
Ooh.
I felt like Cloud9 was just mega tilted at the end of the split and in playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
So, you know, and with the whole, one of my questions was going to be which team do you felt like had the spiciest drama during this past split? And obviously it would have been like Immortals, TSM, Cloud9. It would have been those, you know, three, that would have been the competition. So with all the LS stuff that went down, obviously, I'm reading into this, okay? But here's my hot take. What if, like, Summit is like, this is not what I came over to NA for, right? And, you know, they're just mega tilted. Fudge, not as successful in mid lane as what they had anticipated, right?
Yep, JoJo sent him back to top.
Yeah. So what if Fudge moves back to top lane, they promote Copy from Academy, and they run with that for the loss. So what if no team makes more than two moves? I'll get on camera. More than two moves, right? Teams only make like one move, and Cloud9 makes the double move, moving Fudge back to top, promoting Copy. And that's all hinged upon if Summit sides, peace out, I'm out of here. And this is, I could be reading into this, but at FanFest, Summit wasn't there. Summit was on stage to accept, but he didn't participate in the meet and greet.
Nope.
But Copy did.
He was not feeling it, man. You could tell.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if maybe there were some, obviously there could there could be any number of reasons why I didn't participate. But if I
would have,
who knows, right? If I'm going to read into this, with a magnifying glass and really dig down and try to come up with the craziest hot take I could possibly come up with, I'm going to say Cloud Nine, because I don't think Liquid's going to do anything crazy. I think Liquid's going to give it another split for sure. Bjerks is not going to go back to coaching just yet.
I know. JoJo wanted to send him. I think he's got another split left in him at least. We'll see.
Yeah. And obviously, I think 100 Thieves, they made finals again. So I don't think there's any reason to get rid of their, you know, do anything crazy with their roster, because they've shown that their roster can be successful. They just need to kind of go back and find what their, you know, what their style is and get that killer instinct back. So final question. There are former pros still in the scene. Obviously still active on Twitter. You mentioned Poe Belter earlier, and I think we kind of both come to the same conclusion on the notorious POB.
Love you, bro.
Do you have,
if you're watching, I know you're watching, obviously.
Of course. Yeah. We're that popular. Any former pros that you think would make a return that maybe that are like criminally not on a team right now, but should be on a team, or that one of the current teams could use?
It's tough, man. I know my boomer brain wants to say something stupid like Double Lift. I don't know, man. He's still evolved, right? I've always been a fan of players like Meteos. I was always a big fan of his. I felt like he kind of left before his time. I don't know if he still got it, right? He's been out of the scene a little while. He was in the show match on Sunday. He did okay.
Playing top lane. Played Aatrox.
They played top lane. Yeah, exactly. I think they lost too. So I'm like, oh, well, there goes that out the window. But I don't know. Meteos is one of those guys I'm always kind of rooting for. Maybe somebody like him. That's tough, man. I guess I'd have to say Meteos would be my only kind of like name I could grab out of the air and say, you know, I hope he makes a return in some capacity, maybe as a coach, who knows, right? But
as a player, needs a jungler then?
Yeah, I know, that's tough.
Or that would trust in bringing in like a veteran like that.
I doubt they would replace Jose Diodo with Meteos. Jose Diodo is good enough to, I think, fend off a boomer. But I think, man, I don't know.
Let me help you out. Let me throw some names out there.
Let's hear it.
Jensen doesn't have a team.
Oh, that's true.
Jizuke doesn't have a team.
Ah, Jizuke, man. He was like the hotness a year ago.
That's who JoJo replaced.
Yeah, everybody thought he was the guy, and then he wasn't.
He was like all pro, I think. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it was first team. It may have been second team.
As long as you put him on Ryze.
Yeah, don't put him on Lucian.
on anything that's not Ryze.
There were a couple of really cool times when teams were like not doing really well, and they would bring in Solo, and Solo would play top lane. Solo doesn't have a team.
I miss that guy, but he's been out for so long now. I feel like
So you got like two mid laners and a listen. As much as people want to dog on Solo's, like, maybe his KDA or Sass or something, the guy, they win. They win with him.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, he's got a pretty good run. Yeah, he's got a good, like, statistical record over his career. You know, I think that's why people keep giving him a chance, because it's like, well, maybe he's still got something left. And, I don't know if he's the guy or not, but I really like the Jensen pick there. As soon as you said it, I'm like, dude, I'm over here talking about Meteos. I didn't think of Jensen.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
hand in hand. Duh. You know, and Jensen's got such a cool backstory, too, with him being like one of the first pros that was ever permabanned, and they brought him back and that whole thing. And, you know, I always root for him, too, because he's kind of one of those Cinderella stories like we always like to root for here in the U.S. for some reason. I guess I got to give it to you, man. Jensen, that's a really good call out, I'd have to say. I'd have to say him or Meteos.
So who would pick him up?
Oof.
Or would he even be willing to go on a team that's – because if I pop the image back up, right, he wouldn't go to Liquid, right? Liquid's not getting rid of Jensen. Jensen has too much of a fan base, right, that they would, like, abandon Bjergsen. I'm sorry, Bjergsen has too much of a fan base to abandon to abandon him and bring in Jensen.
Yep.
I don't think that Jensen would go back to Cloud Nine. I don't think that relationship ended amicably. Yep. I could be wrong, but I don't think it did.
I got the same vibe.
Yeah, like, I don't think they get... Obviously, Abidaga, I think his, career is pretty safe right now at 100 Thieves. Maybe,
I don't know, man.
His Vex looked terrible.
It looked rough. Like, I'm not going to go ahead and dump on this guy. Like, he obviously, like, he didn't have a very good split. Or, he didn't have a very good performance against EG. But, man, I don't know. Abidaga, he was the guy that, remember, a couple years ago, his nickname was Faker Dage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he was the guy. Right. Oh, man, this guy, they brought him over to NA. He's not some veteran that's just going to retire in 2 years in NA. This guy's at his peak. But he hasn't. I mean, obviously, the reigning champs, right? So he's had some success. But just like Perks, right? You win a split, and then what's up, man? Where are you at? Right? Perks, we kicked him back over to the UK. He's out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah, right? So I think Abidaga, I don't know. I'm not predicting anything, but I think Abidaga, I think he might want to leave more so than the team wanting to get him out of there. After that really rough loss, the crowd, man, just chanting. Like,
oh, man.
Just wall to wall for the NA, for the NA squad. You could see it in his face at the end, just how defeated. Like, why don't these people love us? We're the reigning champs. Why are they cheering for the other team? You could kind of see it in their face. And that takes a toll on you, man. Like, whether you're, willing to admit it or not, even at the pro level, it takes a toll on you to be kind of, unwanted a little bit from the crowd. And I think he would be happy to go back to the UK, where he'd be welcome with open arms. Again, not predicting anything, but I don't know that that Abidaga wants to stick around after not winning these back-to-back championships, after not having just immediate success over every other squad,
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Obviously, Takui's not going anywhere. I think a Blaze Olive is solid.
Same.
I obviously, he had a couple of games where he really popped off, had some other games where he ran it. But I think that they could continue to develop him. So, yeah, I don't know where. So, if I think Jensen is good enough that he would say, no, I want to be on a top five team. I don't want to be on a bottom five team. Like, if TSM walked to Jensen and say, Jensen, we have a starting spot for you. Like, I'm not going. I don't think he's going anywhere near that dumpster fire.
Nope.
Immortals either. Yeah. So I don't know. So maybe this has all been for naught, and we're just throwing this out there, and nothing will happen. But we got a couple of hot takes in there.
Yeah, I like being the armchair quarterback. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, man, Abidaga this and closer that and this guy and that guy. And I've never even made it out of cold. So
there you go.
What do I know?
Awesome. Well, that is going to wrap up season 2, episode 14. I think we went right at an hour, which is pretty good. It's kind of what I was aiming for. But Ronnie, it was good to have you back. Don't be a stranger, man.
It's great to be back, Justin. I mean, obviously these big events, right? These huge events, they draw big crowds. They draw me to the flame like a moth, right? I have to talk about League of Legends with someone. I have to have an outlet, and this is my favorite outlet. So, yeah, this has been a blast.
Cool. Well, yeah, don't be a stranger. Come back anytime. I'll always have a chair for you. I always have a square for you
square.
In my overlay. That's going to do it for Rift Happens. We didn't have any listener feedback or questions today because, man, it was the weekend was quite a whirlwind. And so we're just glad to be able to put an episode out, even on short notice. But that'll do it for this one. Be sure to come in or tune in next week and definitely submit some questions for next week, because we are going to have Declan, who was the writer of the Upcomer article about the exclusivity with PlayVersus and Riot and things of that nature. It was a good article. Interviewed some of our CR Co-Tribal Zone coaches that were featured in it as well. But we will have him as special guest next week, unless something crazy happens and changes. So it'd be good to kind of pick his brain You know, was there any research he was able to do that was not featured in the article? You know, maybe was cut out on in editing or something like that nature. And there were some choice words from on Twitter directed at his article, so we'll try to get his feedback on some of that. But we want you to submit your questions to him as well, and get and we'll ask him live on Ripped Happens as well. So for Ronnie, I'm Justin. Thank you all so much for being here, and we will catch you next week.